You're listening to NewsHour from the BBC. I'm Rob Young. Now, for 20 months, Israel has been pummeling Gaza as it seeks to wipe out the perpetrators of the October the 7th massacre. But as well as Hamas fighters, many thousands of ordinary Palestinians have been killed. Since Israel withdrew from a ceasefire deal in March, it has demolished thousands of civilian buildings, according to a BBC investigation. There are more details of that report on the BBC website. But now we're going to hear from a British surgeon working in Gaza about what he calls a concerning pattern of injuries in patients being brought to hospital from aid centres. Hundreds of people have been shot and killed since the distribution of food and water was moved to militarised areas. The BBC, like other international journalism organisations, is blocked from entering the Gaza Strip. Professor Nick Maynard works with the Medical Aid for Palestinians, which is a British medical charity and advocacy organisation. He spoke to my colleague Anna Foster and outlined what he'd been witnessing in surgery.
I'm seeing a very different pattern of injuries. I'm still seeing relentless explosive injuries from bombs with shrapnel damage to the chest and the abdomen. And we're seeing that every day, mass casualties. But on top of that, we're also seeing multiple casualties coming in from the food distribution sites. They're all gunshot injuries. They're almost exclusively in young male teenagers, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15-year-olds, all of whom are going to the food distribution points to get food for their starving families. And I've seen, I think, probably a dozen now seriously injured young boys who have been shot in the abdomen or the chest. One of them, a 12-year-old, died on the operating table because the injuries were so severe. And they're all from gunshot wounds. And they all describe to me, and their families described to me, and indeed colleagues of mine, Gazan medical colleagues who are looking for food as well, have gone to these same distribution sites and witnessed these injuries as well. They're all describing that they're being shot by Israeli soldiers or by the quadcopters, the drones which are being remotely controlled by the Israelis and fire, often indiscriminately, often targeted. We're all seeing a very clear pattern of injuries. I've seen the abdominal injuries, but my colleagues in the emergency room describe a very clear pattern where on particular days they'll see different body parts targeted. So on one day, they'll all be abdominal gunshot wounds. On another day, they'll all be head gunshot wounds or neck gunshot wounds. On another day, they'll be arm or leg gunshot wounds. And on last Saturday, there were four young teenage boys all brought in very, very rapidly in succession with gunshot wounds to their testicles. So they'd clearly been targeted to their testicles. And this is a pattern that we're seeing every day. And it's almost as if a game is being played that they're deciding to shoot the head today and the neck tomorrow and the testicles the day after. So appalling injuries. I'm also seeing injuries from people who are living in makeshift tents next to these food distribution centres. I've operated in the last 3 days on two young ladies. One of them was pregnant, 2 months, 3 months pregnant. Another one was breastfeeding her 7-month-old baby. And they were both in their tents, in their makeshift shelters. And they were shot by quadcopters, which were indiscriminately firing bullets at the civilian population in these tents. They both survived. And luckily, the baby, the pregnant lady, the baby has survived. But terrible injuries, the like of which I would never have imagined possible.
We did get in touch with the Israeli Defense Forces and they sent us this statement. The IDF says it categorically rejects the claims of intentional harm to minors, particularly in the manner described. For the sake of clarity, the army's binding orders prohibit forces from intentionally firing at minors. The statement went on to say the IDF did not operate sniper drones in the Gaza Strip during what is called Swords of Iron. Allegations of indiscriminate fire using such tools are baseless and indicate the lack of factual basis in the testimony. The IDF remains committed, it says, to international law and acts in accordance with it. The statement also said the IDF was working to ease the distribution of aid in Gaza at designated distribution centres. Reports of casualties at those distribution sites were being examined and appropriate action would be taken if necessary, it said.
Obviously, one of the great difficulties in reporting this conflict is that international journalists are blocked by Israel from going into Gaza and from seeing what's happening on the ground. Very often, evidence that comes out of Gaza, Israel discredits it by saying it's coming from Hamas, it's coming from the Hamas-run health ministry. But this is you seeing what you're seeing on the ground as an independent British doctor.
Absolutely. This is not coming from anyone from Hamas. This is coming from me. It's coming from many other medical colleagues I'm working with from abroad. It's coming also from Gazan medics and nurses, some of whom I've known for 15 years. These are people I would trust implicitly.
The reason that we're seeing the desperation at these aid distribution points is that we know that there is not enough humanitarian aid being allowed into Gaza. Israel is blocking that from entering freely. You said that you've done various trips now. How are you seeing malnutrition progressing?
It's truly awful, I'm afraid. I called this out when I was in Gaza last summer. I called it out when I was in Gaza in January 24th, but it's worse than ever now. I've been to the pediatric intensive care unit, the neonatal intensive care unit, and I've seen with my own eyes the most distressing signs of malnutrition. Newborn premature babies who are dying. They've had four deaths in recent weeks. There is no formula feed here. We managed to get a delivery 3 days ago from an NGO that brought some in, but there was none on the unit when I was there a week ago. Doctors I know who come in to work in Gaza have had formula feed specifically confiscated from their luggage at the border by the Israeli border guards. There are children on the intensive care units here, 6, 7, 8 year olds who have had major explosive injuries, and they're being fed with 10% dextrose, which is effectively sugar water, which has no nutritional value whatsoever. I spent most of the night the other night operating on an 11-year-old girl with a terrible explosive injury to her chest. It shattered her lower esophagus. She won't be able to eat or drink for weeks. She's doing well at the moment, but she is entirely reliant upon liquid tube feeding, and we are struggling hugely to find any for her. So we're putting out calls to get feed in to save this girl's life, because she will die otherwise. And I'm seeing very similar problems in adults that I'm operating on. People are coming in profoundly malnourished. They have bad injuries from bombs or gunshot wounds, and we operate on them to save their lives. But then, because they're so malnourished, we have no food to support them, no intravenous nutrition, no liquid enteral nutrition, and their wounds break down, their internal repairs to the liver, to the pancreas, to the duodenum, to the bowel, they all break down. They get terrible infections, and many of them have died. I've been coming to Gaza for many, many years. At one level, wonderful, but they're terribly sad meeting up with so many old friends, many of whom have lost 20, 30 kilograms in weight. One of our operating theatre nurses, a lovely man with whom I was working only a week ago, he was killed yesterday morning in a tent with his three young children. One of my other Gazan surgical colleagues, we were operating on the same devastatingly injured teenager the other day. And during the operation, someone came in to tell him his sister had just been killed. They're living with us all the time. I'm in complete and utter awe of my Gazan healthcare colleagues. They are the most inspirational people I've ever met in my life. They've been putting up with this for 21 months. I've been here 3.5 weeks. I'm completely shattered.
Professor Nick Maynard.